From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns brings another portion of a message called Christ with His People in the House of Affliction. In the account of the raising of Lazarus, we see the deity of Christ revealed in an unmistakable manner. At the same time, this passage in John chapter 11 demonstrates the true humanity of the Lord Jesus, who was called the Man of Sorrows. Indeed, no one knows our sufferings like the Savior, for in all our affliction, He is afflicted. Dr. Cairns will come to the preaching of the Word in a few minutes. But first, in today's hot topic, he reports that Jim Baker rebuilds his empire.
Jim Baker is famous, or perhaps infamous would be a better word. Here's a quick look at his resume. 1961, marries Tammy Faye LaValle. Both had attended North Central Bible College in Minnesota. 64, begins working on Pat Robertson's Christian Broadcasting Network. 74, starts broadcasting the PTL Club with Tammy Faye from Charlotte, North Carolina. 1978, the Bakers open Heritage USA, a resort and theme park in Fort Mill, South Carolina. 1987, details emerge about Baker's 1980 affair with Church Secretary Jessica Hahn. Baker had been paying her hush money. He resigns as PTL president. Within months, PTL files for bankruptcy. 1989, Heritage USA shuts down. Later that year, Baker's convicted on 24 counts of mail and wire fraud and sent to prison. 1992, Tammy Faye Baker files for divorce. Next year, she remarries. 1994, Baker's released after serving almost 5 years in prison. 1998, Baker marries Laurie Graham. 2007, his first wife, Tammy Faye, dies. With such a resume, a preacher would appear to have no chance of a productive ministry. Indeed, I don't think that a preacher with this background should ever again impose himself on the public. Having brought disgrace to the name of Christ, he should be satisfied with taking a humble position and function in a well-supervised capacity in a local church in which he may begin to undo some of the harm he has done. Obviously, Jim Baker entertains no such thoughts. In 2003, he commenced a new television ministry, The Jim Baker Show, which he broadcast from Branson, Missouri. He ran the show from a bare-bones studio that once served as a restaurant, but he had visions of a return to the grandeur that was once Heritage USA. Now he has it. A supporter is in the process of building a community that's modeled on Baker's Fort Mill empire. Baker is quick to point out that he owns none of this. He still owes the IRS over $6 million. His church and TV show are not registered in his name, but in the name of his mother-in-law. Soon, however, he's to move into a $250,000 condo, modest by Baker's former standards, a condo that he's buying from his developer friend. The developer has sunk $25 million into the project already, and has provided the ex-head of PTL with a 40,000-square-foot space for his TV show. Already people are flocking in, and already many, even some who lost a lot of money in his fraudulent Heritage USA scheme, are giving substantial amounts of money. Baker's new wife seems to be modeled after the late flamboyant Tammy Faye, appearing at the first show on the new premises in a leopard print blazer, black pants and blouse with a strand of pearls dangling. Well, that was one of her outfits that day. In pictures, she looked and seemed to act as a Tammy Faye clone. But none of this did much to dampen the enthusiasm of the Baker faithful. Jim Baker's back, or at least he's making one huge effort to regain the empire he lost through lust and greed. That he has the chance to launch a replica of his first discredited career is a telling commentary not only on human gullibility, but on the state of America's Christian pop culture, which has really little culture and is a lot more pop than Christian.
If I gain the world but had not Jesus, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gain the world but had not Jesus, would my gain be worth a life long strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled God? Oh, what emptiness without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him. Only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without a Savior, when I come to die, how would it be?
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
The Savior is troubled at the tears of His people. I think He also groaned at her short-sightedness and at her unbelief. As I indicated last week, I think the Lord had sent the message on that this would be for God's glory. But not being able to see that, Mary in her short-sightedness was overcome with grief. It's interesting that any time you find Mary in the presence of the Savior, she's always at His feet. On this occasion, however, there are many, including the great late Bishop Ryle, who believe that Mary was not at His feet here in mere devotion. Mary was at His feet because the evidence they see in the chapter is she was so overwhelmed with sorrow when Martha was out and about. Mary was still in the house weeping with the Jews. 4 days later, she still was overcome with sorrow. She couldn't get off the deck, as it were. She couldn't struggle off the floor in her unbelief. That grieves the heart of the Lord. But even more, I think He groaned because He knew the dominion that sin and death were exercising. And He knew that He was about to enter into mortal conflict with them. He was aware that He was invading their dominion. Those around them were oblivious to that conflict. They were blind even to the real significance of the resurrection of Lazarus, namely that Christ was about to overthrow the prince of darkness and of death. But at what awful cost! It was through death that he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But can you see the Savior as he goes? This is God Almighty, manifested in flesh, but it's real flesh, it's real humanity. Christ Jesus was not some cardboard cutout of a man. He was a real man. And from the depths of his spirit he groaned in sympathy with his people. And then in verse 35 of John 11 we read he wept. And for once the Jews got it right. And the verse 36 says their words, "Behold how he loved him." The tears of the Lord Jesus showing his love for his people. But not just weeping at the loss of Lazarus, weeping at the suffering of the sisters. Now I want you to see this because you could very easily misunderstand something that I said earlier. Your suffering, says Christ, is for the glory of God. But that's not said in any dismissive way. Look, just get over it. Your suffering's for the glory of God. Don't bother me with it. Just understand you're suffering for the glory of God. That's not how the Savior speaks. Oh, he knew their suffering was for God's glory. And yet, he wept. He wept because they suffered. This leads us to this simple truth, and yet so glorious and so liberating. There's no one knows our sorrows as Jesus does. And he's the only one can really enter into your sorrow. After my brother recently lost his wife, after 43 years of marriage and after years of great suffering, he said to me, he said, nothing prepares you for this. He said, when I spoke to Betty, that's our sister, on the death of her husband, I thought I understood. When she talked about feeling so bereft, I thought I understood. But you can't understand. You have no idea until you actually endure it. I think of parents, and sometimes I've stood with them at the graveside as they have led their little one to rest in the earth. I visited in a home where the 18-year-old son was killed right outside his own front door. Parents left in a horror of great darkness. I've sat with a wife watching her 6'2", 240-pound husband become an emaciated wreck, dying in agony at about 75 pounds of bone. Who can ever say, "I understand"? None of us. Our sympathy is so shallow, and I don't mean insincere, but its capacity is so limited. thank God there's one who understands. There's one who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. There's one who is really touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There's one who knows the heart. He's the one who wept for the suffering of his people. What a joy. Sounds a strange word to use. But as I was trying to explain to my brother, there's a world of difference between joy and happiness. You may be unhappy at what is happening, and yet have a deep joy in the things that are not affected or changed by what is happening. What a joy to know that He who is eternal God is the man Christ Jesus. And He wept at the sorrow of His people. And of course He revealed the wonder of His sacrificial death. Do you see that on two occasions He was anointed for burial? I say two occasions. Many commentators take this to be the one occasion, but the Bible doesn't contradict itself. In John 12 we read of something that happened, and I take it that it happened in the home of Lazarus. But it happened 6 days before the Passover. In Matthew 26, we have something similar happening in the house of Simon the leper, and it was 2 days before the Passover. Twice Christ was anointed for burial. The first occasion, Mary anointed His head. I don't know who anointed Him on the second occasion. It might have been Mary doing it again, or it was some unnamed woman. On this occasion, or should I say, the first, she anointed His feet. The second, she anointed His head. But on these two occasions, obviously, the emphasis is on something that was overshadowing everything that Jesus said and did. And that was the cross, His death, His burial. He spoke and He acted in constant awareness of the cross. In other words, He was saying, especially when He said, don't trouble this woman, don't criticize this woman. What she has done for my burial. She's kept this up for this moment. And indeed, wherever this gospel is preached, this will be announced as a memorial, not only of me, but of her. She'll be remembered as the woman who anointed the Messiah for His burial. Obviously, the Lord Jesus is saying that the cross, this death, is something special. This was central to His message, then and now. But see how it plays right in to Bethany, the house of affliction. Wherever your street address in Bethany, whatever the kind of trial or trouble or tribulation you are enduring, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus points you to His cross. He's the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's the one who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He's the one who died that we might live. He's the one who in dying slew death and brought life and immortality to light. He's the one who now lives in resurrection power. And in your trial and in your trouble, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the cross. Get your eyes on the shed blood. Understand something of the significance and the success of the cross work of Jesus Christ. And you'll find there is nothing like the old rugged cross to bring healing to your soul. Do you remember that occasion in the early wanderings of the children of Israel when they came to the waters that were bitter. And the Lord gave instructions as to how to make the bitter sweet. And they cut down a tree and cast it, and the tree made the bitter sweet. I tell you of another tree. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Well, on that tree where our Savior died, you have the answer. In the cross of Christ, I glory. Why? Because this is God's answer to the curse of sin, to the calamity of sin, to the consequences of sin, to the condemnation of sin. Aye, it is the answer, even today, to the afflictions of the sinner.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.